Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Star Wars Report Podcast. This is your place, your safe place, to geek out about Star Wars. And nothing else! No. We geek out about a lot of stuff.
I would say we geek out about a lot of stuff.
I have geeking out.
And I have a tangent to go on, just very briefly, and I didn't tell Riley about this at all, or Mark for that matter, but speaking of going off topic...
By the way, I'm Riley, Mark.
Oh, who cares? This is Bethany of the Star Wars Report speaking, if you're tuning in for the first time, and we... were left an iTunes review recently,
which was
not exactly positively directed towards my brother Riley. Riley's like, "Oh no, she's getting negative."
I haven't heard this one.
And what the main complaint seemed to be getting off topic, really. Who Riley?
What?
Yes, basically getting off topic with the side note of rambling, and basically when the other hosts aren't on, that Riley will get off of topic, which the person leaving the review seemed to see as rambling and being unprepared. But I would like to say, for all of our listeners out there, in case we've not really communicated this, with the philosophy at least that I have, I may not speak entirely for Riley or for Mark, but the philosophy that I have of this podcast and of my viewpoint and experience of Star Wars is that I am not just a fan of Star Wars, of the movies, of the characters, of the universe. I'm a fan of the way that Star Wars has affected real life, meaning the people I've met, the experiences I've gained, the celebrations that I've traveled to, the friends I've met, all the things that Star Wars has led me to become a better speaker, a better communicator in general, more confident, learning how to interview properly, learning how to write better for blog posts, which I've been a little slack on recently, I'll admit. But, you know, getting to be friends with Mark, something that I would never have done.
We met Mark
meeting
in person.
As someone on Facebook called him, our long-lost cousin, Steve Lawson. Getting to work with our terrific staff at StarWarsReport.com, and all of these different experiences. To me, I don't wish to see Star Wars as just the experience of in-universe characters and ideas and stories, which are great in and of themselves. To me, that would narrow my experience. That would make me less of a person than I am now. I'm a better person now because of Star Wars. Not because necessarily of the actual movies themselves, or the books, or the comics, or the TV shows, or anything like that, but because of the people and the experiences that Star Wars has led me to, that I found by becoming interested in Star Wars. And if that's off topic, so be it. I will gladly take that, because Star Wars is so much more than just an intricate and beautiful and complex universe of characters and stories that are inspiring in and of themselves, but it touches real people and real events. It affects you in many other ways. So I would say I will gladly ramble off topic, if that is what people call it. Typically on the show, we will generally talk about Star Wars, but we'll talk about real life too. I mean, we are real people here. You will hear of our thoughts and experiences. I'm not going to divorce myself from everything else that is me while I'm on a podcast that I host.
Yeah, see, for me, this is my first time hearing about it. I've known Riley since EUcast, me and him were competing. Right,
guys, stop. We got to save this, by the way. I just want to point out, this is episode 99, and this is exactly what I was having in mind for episode 100, and it's like we're doing it now. But I think this is something we'll revisit in some of the old days. Sorry, yes, back to EUcast, the old days.
So when I first listened to him, it was each one of us had a shot. There was three of us applying for the one position, and each one of us got to have their own episode where they host. I happened to get to go first. So it was kind of like, you know, set the bar or just wait for everyone else to just jump over you because they saw how bad you did. And then Riley came after me, and I was just like, oh my God, this guy, he can go around the world with things like I do, but in a whole different level. There was so much detail in the globe that Riley would predict out there and throw out there with words. And by the time you were like following him along going, what were we talking about again? He would bring it all home every time. He would tie that sucker up like a nice pretty package and give it to you. And that's what I love about when I listen with you, man. I mean, even when you do the solo episodes, I'm like, is he getting off topic? And I start to think you are. And then all of a sudden you bring it all back and everything you just talked about all kind of just collects. And you're like, what you thought was a bunch of dots on a paper, actually a connect the dot, and you've got the Death Star 2 there with all the little jagged lines and everything. It's like, that wasn't just a bunch of dots. It was just a connect the dots with no numbers. Riley had every number down, and he took you along the way. It was just so complex that you thought you were lost along the way. I recently went caving, and we had that happen to us. Got lost while night caving. Went and did a 180 one way, went back. We're like, wait, dead end. Turn around, went back the other way, dead end. We're like, wait, we came in this way. How is it a dead end? You know, luckily, our leader, Brian, he knew how to get us out. That is Riley. When it comes to these rants and rambles that we get on here at the Star Wars Report, Riley will get us back on track eventually. And that's what I love. When he does it, it's a poignant moment.
Oh, you guys are too kind. Well, yeah, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And we don't have a lot of news this week, but coming up on the show, we do have interviews coming up with Brian and Nancy from Tashi Station. That's coming up in a little bit. Unfortunately, scheduling-wise, Mark, you have to head to work before they come in, which makes me very disappointed because I know you've interacted with them a lot. But
I was looking forward to some Marvel talk, but I would take us off topic to a whole different direction.
Oh, and
you know, I wanted to mention something though about what Bethany was saying about, you know, the aspect of fandom, the fellowship, I guess you would say, of it. I'm really looking forward to this aspect. Oh, we just purchased our Celebration 7 or Celebration Anaheim, whatever they're going to call it right now.
Let me just say, Mark, you have no idea how exciting I just found out the fact that you have purchased Celebration tickets. Yeah. And you're getting ready to book your hotel before we even have looked into it. Like, I looked yesterday, and most of the hotels are sold.
Go, honey, go.
And most of the hotels have already sold out, or at least that early block of seats, although I do understand that they will be opening up probably some more seats maybe a year out. Like, it's not like the whole hotel, that's the word I'm looking for, has sold out yet. But, man, Mark, you have no idea how excited this makes me.
And that's the aspect of it that I am missing. I mean, when I look at things, I do fall in that in-universe category. I enjoy Star Wars more when the stories line up. You know, I'm the big proponent of the C-level canon because that canon absorbs more of all the multiple stories out there and tries to make it one cohesive universe. That's what I enjoy the most. But, you know, every year that you guys have gone to a celebration and the other friends of mine that have gone to these different celebrations and cons, the energy levels you guys come back with, it's almost a turnoff, if you will, to those that don't get to go. Because you're like, I want to have that pleasure. And you can't. You're just like, throw up the wall. I can't take it. It's too emotional. I'm going to cry in the corner because I'm not at the party. And now I'm going to go. I'm so excited to see what that side is going to be about and feel that energy, that wave. Because the only thing I have is going to episodes, you know, 2, 3, 1, those, getting caught in that wave, the local wave, to my little town and seeing there's a whole bunch of Star Wars fans just like me here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I think, like, there's no comparison, and it's, you can't describe it. You have to actually go. And I think, and that brings me back to some memories I have over how I missed Celebration 4, and I'll come right back to that. I'm actually going to pause the recorder, come right back with you guys, and we're going to see if we can't clear up a little bit of a connection issue. I'll be right back. All right, and we're back. Connections are good. We are ready to roll. I remember, when was Celebration 4?
By the
four?
Way, I just have to totally interrupt because it's exciting. This will be our first convention with Mark.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
My first one ever.
Exactly.
And hopefully, I wonder if we could get our whole staff there, because right now it sounds like a lot of them
we've
are
got most,
on going.
Almost everyone I know of. We've
that
got,
would be
well,
awesome.
I mean, we can confirm Aaron and Teresa are going. Mark, you're going. Bethany and I. So we got to get Mitchell out.
Nathan won't be there.
Nathan,
it falls into a time where he can't get away from school.
How could? I'm beginning to hate the educational system.
The teachers apparently they gotta do all the work right then when they're breaking. I'm like, man,
evidently,
that sucks.
Good. Like, can't you get a couple days off, man? It's
like even a year out.
A year and a half out. Like,
When I was talking to him, he said apparently that you can, but there is risk that you could come back and they fill the position with someone else. And it's like, the teachers, the industry's got to be rough.
Good grief, man, it is.
Sad.
But like, I remember Celebration 7. Would have been summer, or I guess April or so, in 2007, because it was the 30th anniversary of Star Wars A New Hope. Which is interesting how almost every one of these celebrations have fallen perfectly on these really cool movie things, except I guess Celebration 6, which was technically 2012, which wasn't an anniversary. But we had Celebration 5, the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back, Celebration 4, 30th anniversary of Episode 4, and then of course 1, 2, and 3 preceding the movies. Anyway, I say all that to say I'm rambling, guys. No. I remember getting online in February 2008 and downloading episodes of the original Force cast before they were Rebel Force Radio. And I downloaded a bunch of archived episodes, and you've got to, they're only going to be about 52 regular episodes in a year. And so I remember being exposed to, I just downloaded about 15 or 20 episodes and over a couple of weeks was listening to them. And that went far enough back to be listening to Celebration coverage. And I discovered, I mean, I just remember listening to some of those early episodes, and that's, I mean, I've said this before when we had Jimmy Mack on earlier this year, is that that's the reason I started Star Wars podcasting. That was when I, like, what the heck is KOTOR? People kept saying KOTOR, and I didn't know it because I wasn't around when those video games were coming out, and learning things like that, and The Force Unleashed, I was hearing about this game that might come out someday, somehow, and I remembered going back to that archived and then listening to the interviews and some of the coverage that was done of Celebration 4. And I remember thinking to myself, this is astounding. Because as a younger teenager discovering the fact that in new media you can find podcasts or YouTube shows now, or you know, any other medium of media that's not restricted by anything mainstream. It could be as niche as you want it. You can find podcast out there on Star Wars role-playing games, like that specific of a show. Yep. And so the idea of first there being a weekly program dedicated to a movie franchise that I loved and that made me fall in love with it even more, that blew my mind. But as I was going back and listening to those archives, I became just enthralled with the idea of, you mean like 20, 30,000 people gather and celebrate a movie franchise in a way that transcends the fact that it's a movie and it becomes a cultural event. And that's what a Star Wars celebration is. And then I distinctly remember what you just mentioned about 5 minutes ago, Mark, at how angry I was that I wasn't there. And this was 6 months after it took place, much less being there and like watching all the Twitter.
And following it's
like
it all
every,
live.
Every year at San Diego Comic Con, I like last week, I coined the term Twitter jealousy of Brian Young, who's often out at these events. But I can't, I mean, it is, I can certainly see why it would be frustrating, but also it's just so exciting. Especially, I love the fact that they're announcing it and frankly putting on tickets and stuff, tickets on sale, hotels up for sale so early, because you can commit early, you can start saving early, start planning early, because if you're on a budget, you need that time to look out. And and we were talking with Steve Glosson, who we actually got to visit him last week as we're recording this, and we were talking, and it's for a lot of folks this is just going to be a matter of saving a dollar or two a day. If you can save a dollar or two a day leading up, you can do an event like that. Just put aside a little extra. It's like when you were a kid and your parents said you couldn't buy the toy until you collected enough quarters into the old piggy bank. And for now we're grown kids, saving for the old Star Wars celebration, well, Anaheim as they're calling it. So that, like I say, that makes me very excited that you've already gotten on the ball. And by the way, guys, what do you think? We didn't talk about it a lot last week. What do you guys think of the location being in Anaheim, specifically with the concerns of the convention center being smaller than the OCC? OCC?
I believe it's Triple C.
It's like, ooh, the Jedi Temple in Massassi.
See, I'm not going to the other one. I've nothing to compare it to, but yeah. I've heard that each celebration has had more and more attendees. So, I mean, that could be an issue. But
and
me, I'm excited because we're not just going to the 4-day pass, which my whole family got 4-day passes. We're also going to spend at least 3 days at Disneyland again.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, we were just like, you know, we're going to be in Anaheim, might as well. And I think that makes sense now that Disney owns the franchise to go back and forth between the two, you know, Orlando and Anaheim, which makes question this whole, and I don't know if any officialness to it, but I'm seeing a lot of Celebration Anaheim versus Celebration 7. And I'm
yeah.
Like,
well, another thing.
Already been at Anaheim once, so I mean, why are we calling it Anaheim? Why didn't we call the last two Orlando? I mean, why do we have to change it all the time? Why do we keep breaking the horse that's already not broken?
I like that metaphor. Mark, I think you're gonna have to shut off your video for the audio quality. I was just noticing that. But yeah, no, and they dropped the Roman numerals
Well, that's okay. No big deal. See, sometimes as Star Wars fans, we can get so excited about the franchise that the smallest things will kind of bug us. You know, we can nitpick everything to death because we're so into it. But, you know, things like whether or not it's a Roman numeral, I can give or take. But I'm very curious, what if, as Mark suggests, they might do the whole bounce back and forth from East Coast to West Coast? You know, Orlando, Anaheim. What do you call it then? Anaheim 2, Anaheim 3?
Well, and though the official...
It would already be what Anaheim 2, right? Technically, because wasn't the second or third one in Anaheim?
I think it was. I know it was in California, but I don't remember specifically. But I will say this. I do know that a lot of the official document is not even calling it that. It's calling it Celebration 2015. It's just using the date to make it a little bit more clear.
See, I'm okay with that. You want to call it by the year? I think that's actually a smarter way to go.
Well, and frankly, just call it Star Wars Celebration because, I mean, it's not called Comic-Con 2013. It's called San Diego Comic-Con.
Or just drop it to the SW Celebration. I mean, I'm looking at Twitter, you know, because he's already got 140 characteristics here to mess with. Why are we going to put it so big that that's all you can afford to put in there?
Yeah. Very excited about... hashtag Star Wars Celebration 2015 Anaheim. Yeah, exactly. Well, so...
As far as the convention center goes, I can see the concerns there, and especially as this will be leading up to Episode 7, I have a feeling it'll be a larger convention than the previous celebrations just because of the excitement building up to the actual movie release. But sure. I don't think we have to worry too much because, well... We didn't actually use all of the Orange County Convention Center, and that is Triple C, County
That's
Convention
true.
Center,
That's
Triple
true.
C. We didn't use all of the Triple C. I actually went around exploring once the first celebration, which was actually the first convention I ever went to. We did Dragon Con afterwards, right? Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was the first convention I'd ever been to, and I mean, at points it did get rather noisy, rather crowded, and after a long day, I just wanted a little peace and quiet closer to towards the end of the day. So I was like, I'm going to explore this place, and you know, I found myself wandering through long halls and through some random dining
like
facility
with
crystal chandeliers that I probably shouldn't have been in there, but was anyway. It was pretty cool. Red carpet and all.
Yeah.
But we didn't use the whole of the OCCC, so we should be okay in Anaheim, I haven't seen the facility.
And the key to
myself.
It, and Anaheim, I looked up, I think it was Jedi News that had a great link to, they just finished completely redoing that downtown area of Anaheim near Disney, where they redid it all to be very pedestrian friendly. It's right across from Disney, and I think that the main reason I think they put it there is just it's really super close proximity to Disney, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see some very very specific tie-ins to Disney.
Well, the hotel that we're booking is the one we went to last time, and my wife figured out that it's within walking distance, not only the front gates of the park, but the convention center.
Yeah, because they're right there next to each other.
Yeah, we're boom. Either way, I'm like, oh, sweet.
Oh, that's great.
We loved the place we stayed at last time. I mean, it was right there, and that's why we're going to go back to Disney again. And I think that's the winning combination for Disney. But for the fans, it's like, well, I have to agree. When I had never gone to one before, I would have loved to have seen it in a central location because that seems like more people could find it there. But from the Disney side of things, Disney has nothing going on in the middle of the states.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, before we go, Mark, you only have a couple minutes left, and I feel bad that we waited this long to get to it, but I feel like we got to jump to a little bit of news. Straight from Jedi News, in fact, this rumor just broke yesterday as we're recording. Episode 7 rumor alert!
Woo-hoo.
Ian McDiarmid returning.
Soon I will be returning to the rule of Star Wars. Once more, the Sith will rule Disney.
The specifics of the role are unclear, as said by Jedi News, but it seems likely that McDiarmid would be returning to his signature role as the evil Palpatine.
I already see how it can happen.
Okay, Mark, what's your theory?
Got it down. I'm not even going to go with the signature. It's got to be Timothy Zahn's cloned Emperor route. No.
No way.
Holocron, my friends.
No.
Holocron. Okay.
Yes, there you go. That's more like it.
Yes. Sith Holocron. I could totally see him coming back, reprising his role as Darth Sidious, giving his knowledge to either a Jedi who has fallen along the way, or a Jedi who stumbled across this, or even just some nobody that's found it. Oh, man. I could totally see that working out.
Oh. What are your theories, Bethany? Ian McDiarmid back?
I don't really have theories so much as...
I just make it up.
I do have some hopes. I hope that it will not go the route that some of the EU books did.
Well,
and it has been years since I read them, but the ones where the Emperor coming back...
Well, and that's what the Dark... That was first in the Dark Horse's...
Dark Empire.
Dark Empire, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That did that.
One, two, and Empire End. And they did literally multiple clones. Because the first one, like, oh, it's over. And then the next one's like, oh, no, he's got whole vats of clones everywhere. And then it was like, oh, well, his own guys have tainted the bodies. And Luke's going to come in and kill them all while they're all in the chambers. A very dark, dark comic. But it definitely shaped the EU in a different direction. Yeah, I don't think I want to see that at all.
Yeah, it would just, I mean, that's, Star Wars does have an element of cheesiness in it. But that's a little heavy on the cheese, even for this cheese-loving self.
So. I mean, you could always do a flashback. I could see that, yeah, too, working, where you see a scene where, I mean, you could even throw a whole host of Episode 3 prequel characters and stuff in there.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't say if he is the clone, I will absolutely hate it, because...
well, he's not the clone. He's Palpatine Prime.
Oh, goodness. He's gonna... But
instead of a little power, he'll be like, that's just Prime.
He's going to be all like when Luke shows up and he's like, suddenly you'll have a very, very deep, kind-hearted voice that sounds eerily like Leonard Nimoy. And he'll be like, Luke, you've got to stay with your destiny. Why is my spot? Why is my older Leonard Nimoy sounding eerily like Bill Clinton? I don't know. It's a fascinating idea, and I think that this explains a lot. Because guess who popped onto the Star Wars convention scene right at about a year and a half ago at Celebration 6? Mm-hmm. You're right. The guy who hasn't been at a single Star Wars convention, or really hardly any convention that I know of, since his role as Palpatine, suddenly shows up right about the same summer that George Lucas meets with Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford. And then he shows up at Fan Days, and then he shows up at Celebration Europe. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that they were in talks with him to reprise the role as early as the times when they were first talking to Harrison and Carrie and Mark for the big three, which we all are pretty confident was before Celebration 6. I'm guessing a year or so before. I don't know.
The Star Wars conspiracy theorist thing, instead of follow the money, follow the convention trail. It'll lead you to the answers.
Well, see? I mean, because he's of a caliber of actor who usually doesn't go to something like a Star Wars celebration, because that's not really, really his scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And I still don't get the sense from people I know and things I've heard, that he's not the most... fan enthusiastic guy. He's not Daniel Logan, who loves just hanging out with the fans, or James Arnold Taylor, some of the Clone Wars folks that just love hanging out and talking to the fans. I think I still get this kind of sense of a professional distance he maintains, but the fact that he has come to these events and shown himself to Star Wars fans, I think, is definitely a good sign. And, like, even at Celebration Europe, I saw footage of him where he and Warwick Davis recreated the Yoda Palpatine confrontation at the end of Episode 3. I don't know if you guys look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you can look it up on YouTube. But even in that, he seemed a little out of his element. Now, of course, that's judging it from somebody who wasn't there. But still, I kind of get the sense that that is, by no stretch of the imagination, a coincidence at all. So I would love to.
Well,
am I complaining, by the way?
Jumping
no.
into your next news story, because I'm about to run. I got a question for you guys. Do you think it's coincidental or planned that they moved the Star Wars celebration up into spring versus having it summer, with Episode 7's rumor now release of a confirmed word summer?
Yes. And that's a very good question, one which we shall ponder and discuss in just a moment. Mark, I know you have to head out, so thanks for swinging by. It's good to talk to you, as always. And
always
we'll be sure to catch you. We'll be sure to catch you next week. Even as school starts, we will be doing our darndest to stay caught up and do a good job of scheduling these episodes out so we can keep producing them through the school year. So we'll be in touch with you, man.
Yeah, and all you Bothans out there, if you have anything you want to say for our 100th episode, be sure to fire off an email before we record next week.
That'd be cool. Yeah, thanks. All right, Mark, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Take care, and may the force be with you.
All right, stand by. We will be joined shortly, and hopefully, by Brian and Nancy of Tashi Station. So stand by, Ion Control. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And for the folks listening to the podcast, they heard no difference at all. Like, it was a time warp. And boom, we're back. And like magic, joining us are the one, the only, the inimitable Brian Larson and Nancy Schwartz. Welcome. Welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm so excited to have you guys on. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Cool. And so Brian and Nancy are the founders, the mastermind, the evil folks behind Tashi Station.
She's pointing and glaring at me right now because I kind of dragged her into this process when we started it.
You did.
And then you guys started doing blog posts and news and podcasts and convention coverage and interviews.
And slowly but inevitably fell to the dark side.
Welcome.
Well and truly.
It's true.
It's true. We fell into that death spiral and our eyeballs and blog posts and podcast recordings.
Exactly. But it's a fun world to be part of. But I want to, before we even jump into the world of podcasting and new media in the realm of Star Wars and Dragon Con, all these other fun stuff that we could talk about now, I'm very curious to hear, because I've not personally heard the story of how you guys first got into the franchise that is Star Wars. And here's like the typical boring answer, so I'm going to give you like a free heads up of what not to do. So okay. I was 8 years old and I saw it and it blew my mind. All right, we understand. Yes, everybody's mind is blown. But at some point, usually there's this transition where it clicks in, where you're like, this is more than just a movie franchise, and it becomes part of your life, and then the friends you make, you realize, are all because of Star Wars, and then the people you're around are often there just because of Star Wars. So, like, what was that first moment where you really started getting into Star Wars in a way where it was beyond just, oh, yeah, I kind of like the movie?
You want to take this first, Nancy?
Yes, because I've been a fan a lot longer than you have.
Okay.
Well, I know this will shock some people, but I became a fan when I first read the Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn.
Okay, so you do have a unique story. I'll continue. I'm curious.
It's not very unique for people who are my age, because I think people who are my age who hadn't grown up with the movies, I think, had at least seen them. I know Dung from Club Jade pretty much has a similar story to mine, is that she wasn't really that into Star Wars until she read Thrawn trilogy. But I had never seen the movies. I knew about them from, you know, pop culture stuff. And my dad realized I had never seen Star Wars. And so
did you read Heir to the Empire before seeing the movie, though?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I saw the movies first. And then my dad actually had a copy of Heir to the Empire that he'd gotten as a gift. So I saw it and stole it because it had Star Wars on it.
As you well should have.
Yes, and I still have it on my bookshelf to this day. It's actually the rare hardcover with the tan paper, not the blue paper on the front, because they had to print so many that they ran out of blue paper.
So for you, Heir to the Empire was more of that entry point where you're like, well, okay, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I probably would not have become a Star Wars fan if I had not read that book right at the point I did, which is why it makes me angry when people say that the EU doesn't get people into Star Wars, because that's a bald-faced lie.
Well, see, and for me, it's like when people say the prequels won't. I became a Star Wars fan because I saw The Phantom Menace. So
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People get into Star Wars for whatever reasons, and whatever works.
I have to ask, though,
Thrawn trilogy, and
does your dad?
That was 20-something years ago?
Sorry, Bethy, go ahead.
I have to ask.
Yes.
Does your dad know that you have that book? Did he ever figure that out?
Well, I actually don't really talk to my dad anymore. That's kind of an awkward question. But so, yes, he does. I
like, he must have really liked that book.
Yeah. That's why
you stole the book.
I'm sorry.
I'm heartbroken.
No, that's hilarious. No, actually, he knew I took it. Yeah. Okay. He was fine with it. I was like, this is my book now. Sorry.
Well, I mean, okay, so but something I've got to revisit that you could have brushed over is people who say that people don't get into Star Wars because of the expanded universe. And that sounds like something that would be ignorant enough and prideful enough to be something that I would say, which because I'm not the biggest EU fan out there. So, but what's your reaction when you hear that from people? I'm curious because I know you've probably gotten this more than once.
Frothy rage.
Yeah, it's stupid because there was a time there when that's all the new Star Wars that there was. Like, people don't remember that. That's, you know, that's why Thrawn Trilogy has such a big fan base, and people who never read any more Star Wars books have read Thrawn Trilogy because that's all there was, and new Star Wars and it's amazing. And you know, for me, it wasn't like that because I, you know, hadn't been a fan of Star Wars for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I saw the movies and I liked them so much that I needed more. If it had just been movies, I wouldn't have been as interested in Star Wars.
You would be that person who now walks up to you and says, "Hey, did you hear? Disney bought Lucasfilm."
You'd be exactly.
Okay, cool. And which makes me want to jump over to you, Brian. What's your story?
Well, my story is remarkably similar to Nancy's, except it was a different book. I picked up X-Wing Wedge's Gamble, book 2 in a series that probably should have started on book 1, but picked up an expanded universe novel, and that was my gateway into a larger world of fandom. I started up and reading as many expanded universe novels as I could get. I discovered discussion points online where people were talking about EU books and writing fan fiction based on these novels in this era of Star Wars, and that was kind of the catalyst for me becoming a part of fandom rather than just someone who liked a set of movies.
Like, you guys are huge fans of the X-Wing series.
Yes.
I mean, and I know this from last year's Dragon Con.
Yes.
Yeah, our blog did a giant 10-part retrospective on the series.
Oh, goodness. And I'm sure we will continue to be reminded of this fact at Dragon Con because we have still read.
No time.
The X-Wing series.
I'm just going to, like, before Bethany even finished the sentence, that's why I had to say no time, just because, I mean, as we entered the world of college academics, like, if I made excuses before, at least now I have more excuses to not be caught up on the Star Wars Expanded Universe. What's funny, because you said you read a book 2 of a series, which kind of reminds me of the first major Expanded Universe book I read after 2008, because that was about 2008 was about the time that I was getting online and discovering Star Wars and Star Wars podcasting and fan sites and the Star Wars books. Because when I was younger, I read some of the Jedi Knights and Jedi Quest series, some of the old Kevin J. Anderson stuff. And I loved it. Ate that stuff up as a kid. And that was when I was around the time I first watched the movies. But for a long time, I did not read anything Star Wars, never read any of the adult books. But picked a book up shortly after starting listening to Star Wars podcasts again and then getting back into the franchise as a mid-teenager. And I picked up a book on a bookshelf, as I admitted to Timothy Zahn's face last year at Dragon Con, or maybe it was the first year we went, I don't remember, where the first book I read was Sacrifice.
Oh, buddy, no.
I'm shaking my head at you right now.
Like, and you guys know this is coming because... I thought it would be kind of ironic. See, and here's the funny thing. I thought it would be ironically funny to the fans to tell that story because poor Mara, by the way, spoiler alert, but, you know, it's 5 years ago. And so I thought, you know, I say, hey, this will be ironically funny because of poor Timothy Zahn. I kind of forgot that I was in a room full of diehard Expanded Universe fans who were there to see Timothy Zahn because he's their hero and they love Mara Jade. It did not get the laugh I thought it would get. It got like this tragic gasp, at which point everyone groaned and then felt terribly sorry for me and like they would be willing to pick up like a collection so that they could send me to therapy, because the first book I read was the one in which Mara Jade died. But it reminded me so much of that first Expanded Universe novel I read, at least that's kind of the way it feels to me, with how engaged I was with that story, because I haven't been engaged with Expanded Universe really since that early year in 2008 and 2009, when I read the Zahn trilogy, when I first read Legacy of the Force and finished the series and so on and so on. And I haven't been engaged with Expanded Universe as much in recent years, but it seems like you guys, that seems to be your bread and butter of fandom. Talk a little bit about why the Expanded Universe seems to be the core part of your fandom.
Well, before I do that, I'm going to pitch two books at you, and you will find time to read these.
Okay, all
right. First is Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mindor.
Okay.
Yep, that's a standalone. You can pick that, not needing any other knowledge. And the second, coming out later this month, is Kenobi by John Jackson Miller.
I've heard so many good things. Mark's part most of the way through it, I believe. So, and he's saying, he's telling me that I have to read it. So
Kenobi is fabulous.
Even if you are not a big Expanded Universe fan, if you are a Star Wars fan, period, you need to pick up Kenobi.
Yeah.
But sorry, I got totally distracted there. Throw that question back at me again.
No. Just talk a little bit about how the Expanded Universe seems to be, at least from my perception of you guys, as the core part of your fandom.
Well, I think when we were getting into fandom, there wasn't much in the way of Star Wars. I know, Nancy, that was the case a little more for you than it was for me. But, there weren't films. The only new content we were getting were Expanded Universe novels. That was new Star Wars. That was what was feeding our appetite for the fandom. So we kind of came into fandom. We grew up on Expanded Universe books, and they became really the core part of our fan experience. So naturally, when we both went online and engaged in various discussions about Star Wars, we tended to gravitate towards the Expanded Universe. I know, Nancy, your first blogging gig at EU Cantina, you were really covering a lot of Expanded Universe related news.
Yeah.
My first writing gig at Roco Depot, I did video game stuff, but I also talked a lot about the Expanded Universe, a lot of meta discussion about it. So naturally, that's just kind of where we gravitated and what really resonated the most with us when we talk Star Wars.
Yeah, and for me, it's not necessarily the Expanded Universe in general, but it's really that specific time period after Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, seeing the original trilogy, I fell in love with those characters, especially Luke, and I wanted to know what happened to them. And that's what they were writing at the time. And so that's the only books that came out. So,
yeah. Well, so fast forward to May 2015, we'll say, for the sake of argument. Star Wars Episode 7 airs, and Chewbacca's still sitting in the co-pilot's chair with a 70-year-old Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon. On a scale of 1 being meh, and the 10 being I will go shoot J.J. Abrams in the head right now, where will you be?
Well, the Chewbacca thing, I don't care about at all. It asked me again if Mara Jade is there. I might have a different answer.
Like, good or bad if she's there?
Well, I don't expect anything.
I hear the conflict in your voice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any fan of the Expanded Universe is expecting to see aspects of what we know in the sequel trilogy, because that would just be silly. And I hope that they include certain things. I hope that there's things they don't include personally.
Well,
personally, with some of the latest books that have come out, I don't want any of that. I want it to all be eradicated.
So what's your guys' opinion on Fate of the Jedi? Thumbs up or down?
meh.
Yeah, it was a middling series.
It had potential.
That was a thumb trembling sideways. That
yeah. Well, it had potential.
I read. I read the first four or five of the series, but I lost interest just because of the. I guess the style where the story really I think felt to me like it lost its sense of the traditional epic in style of storytelling and felt more like it got lost in the minutiae of several subplot points.
Yes.
Well, it was a story that initially got pitched as the Odyssey in Star Wars. And if that had been what we had actually got, I would have loved it. Mm-hmm. Then it lost its way by being another grittier, darker, Battlestar Galactica-er story.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, one thing about the Legacy series for me, and again, this was, you know, I also read Sacrifice first. Which, by the way, Riley, Timothy Zahn's expression when you said that.
He was ticked off.
He was definitely
I think there was
off.
More revealed when I asked that question, and instead of the humor, I got, I think, a true insight into just how sad and frankly upset I think Timothy Zahn was that his beloved Mara is no more.
I don't think he was upset so much as he was pissed. He thought it was a really dumb decision, and that he still does.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if he'll ever go on. Has he gone on a dumb thing to do?
Well, he's told me that he won't write in that era specifically because they killed Mara. So,
really?
There you go.
Okay, and you heard that here first. Wow. So... I love it. Well, and see, I guess for me, Fate of the Jedi, rather, which, by the way, it ticks me off how people always say Legacy of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's Legacy of the Force and then Fate of the Jedi. I didn't even read half of those books, and I know it. Figure it out. No, it's a small one. But no, I think in some ways... Kenobi is exactly the kind of thing, and your recommendation just piles on, Brian, that the fact that I will definitely have to make... How long's the book, out of curiosity? We're not talking like 500 pages, are we?
No,
I don't know. Cause
I think it was somewhere in the 300 to 350 range.
That's not bad.
We have the hardcover count. Yeah, we have the e-book, so it's kind of...
Are they going to do an audiobook? Because then I'm definitely
yes.
in. Like, then it's washing dishes and mowing. I'm going to be listening to the tales of Obi-Wan.
Yes, they are doing an audiobook.
Obi-Wan is such a classic Star Wars character.
And that's the kind of thing I'd love to see in the standalone films is the style and the vibe I'm getting from Kenobi. Like, I would absolutely love to see the story of Obi-Wan's time in exile as he protected Luke. Because I can't believe he was just sitting in the hut for 20 years. He was doing more than that.
Oh, he was. And you...
I'm sorry, what? You cut out for just a second.
I said, oh, he was, and you can read about it in Kenobi.
Coming out this month on Random House and at your favorite bookstore.
I don't get any money out of this. I just really like the book.
No, fair. I mean, none of us do. But that's cool. Okay, I realized that we drifted a little bit from the core subject, but... Okay, so
welcome
I want
to our normal podcast off the rails every 5 minutes.
Well, and see, here's the thing about I've realized at this point there is no such thing as off the rails. There's conversation between Star Wars fans, and that's what I love about it about podcasting. So, and speaking of conversation, I would love to hear you guys talk about the genesis of Tossie Station. I would really like to hear, because here's something kind of funny that some of our listeners by now, since we're several years removed from it, we come from the same place. Which I think is hilarious, because we did a glorious and wonderful 14-episode run of the Bothan Report, which was a monthly podcast where we talked about the latest Star Wars news, which in format and style was really where I kind of found my feet. And I was cleaning out my computer earlier this week as I was getting ready for school to start this fall, so I was kind of doing the digital organization, and I found... my original audition for being a part of the EUcast, which was a program that I applied to and co-hosted on before I did a separate program, which was the Bothan Report, which was before we branched out and launched our own website, the Star Wars Report, and then here we are today. So in my case, like hearing that original, man, like I was 17 and horrible. I mean, right now I'm 21 and horrible, but still, it was weird to hear myself go back in several years. So what was your genesis of Tashi Station, and where did you guys start when it came to, you mentioned Roku Depot and Ucantina already. Was that the first time you guys started getting into the realm of producing content as a fan?
Well, we were doing duty before we started the podcast.
We were doing those, both writing and for the different websites. I had never really been in, like, writing for blogs and stuff before, but I'd been on message boards talking about the EU, and I wrote fan fiction, and Brian wrote fan fiction.
Incidentally, how we met.
Yep. So when people say fan fiction is stupid, we don't like that either. So we were both writing for the two websites, and Brian said, "Hey, Nancy, want to do a podcast?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Wouldn't it be fun?" "No." "Oh, come on. I'll do all the work." "Okay." And now he does all the recording and I do all the show notes. So it doesn't really work that he's doing all the work, but okay.
So, yeah, one day on Twitter about 2 years ago, I sent out a random tweet about starting a podcast. And about 5 minutes later, the person running solosound.net at the time said, "Email me."
And I went, "Oh, crap."
So Austin, who was then running Solo Sound, said, record a pilot episode, send it to me, and if I like it, you guys can do a podcast.
Oh, wow. And like that's like serious Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
You should have heard my audition tape. I'm surprised I'm podcasting at all anymore.
There's a reason we don't ever listen back to our first episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to start, but...
I went back on Twitter and... sent a message to Nancy and saying, "So would you be interested in a podcast?" And then we argued for a little bit and I eventually suckered her into it. And the next week, I believe, we recorded the pilot episode that never aired because of technical problems with the recording.
Yes. You have no idea how many episodes. All right. Here's just an insider podcast. How many episodes have you guys lost over the course of your podcasting career? Just
only that one.
I hate you so much.
We are knocking on wood right now.
You have to, like, right now I'm glancing down at my recorder just to make sure it's still going. Because I can count, well, it's probably on two hands now, the number that I've lost part of or all of. All of is probably still three or four, but part of, man.
I've had some big scares, but I haven't lost anything yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my computer crashed when transferring our Revenge of the Sith commentary, and I had to run like a recovery utility and saved all but the last 20 minutes, which are spliced into the good old-fashioned audacity.au files, which are spliced into the 5-second increments, which can then be put together for the last 15 minutes. So I've got some editing to do. But this is the life... This is the life of someone who uses Audacity because I'm cheap.
Oh, I feel your pain. But after we launched that first episode, we finally got an episode we could use. We posted it over the blog I was writing for at the time, Roku Depot. Mm-hmm. And from there, we somehow stumbled into an almost weekly thing. And we recorded our first 10 episodes there before I had some...
Write your own blog?
Yeah, we'll diplomatically put it that way.
No, I was like, "Brian, we're already doing a podcast. Let's do our own blog." And he was like, "Okay." So we did.
We did. So I was pretty much single-handedly doing the blog and recording the podcast when... Something happened with you over at EU Cantina that got you writing for us all the time.
Yep.
Care to go into that story, Nancy?
Nope.
Go Google the great gender kerfluffle.
Wow, that was epic. I mean, I feel like afraid to talk about it in some ways. It, like on the last episode, we did nothing but a big roundtable that one of our writers, Teresa, organized, where we talked nothing but gender, which was like it's weird territory to jump into, but it's what it's still top of conversation. And man, that was like as someone who was just watching from the sideline, the fireworks, all the fire. You know, at times
I was making some popcorn, sitting back like, on the crunch, sofa. Crunch.
The best part about that whole thing was that I was not really involved at all. I just sat back and watched everyone else get mad, and I was like, do.
Well, and two things. I mean, we've stumbled in. Well, I think we've inadvertently done here, folks, is stumble into probably one of the best topics we could possibly talk about in this interview, and that is, isn't it just fun? At some point, it stops becoming worrisome and just fun to be part of this community where things just explode. I mean, like speaking as somebody who's now speaking to a microphone with two friends that we've met purely through science fiction conventions and who both do Star Wars podcasts, don't we sometimes take this stuff too seriously?
No, that's the joy of fandom.
I mean, it's fun. There's always something going on. And I know if I'm bored at work or whatever, I can always count on Star Wars fandom to entertain me.
Sure. And I joke to some degree. But in all seriousness, like things like the gender kerfuffle, which I'm pretty sure most people listening to this are aware of, it's just fascinating to me because what Star Wars did was get a large community of really probably thousands of people in different subparts of this community and different fan sites talking about and becoming aware of and speaking out against what I think is fair to say is something that is a legitimate societal problem with the way women are viewed in science fiction and the way that's evolving right now. And as things change, the resistance comes forward. And that's something that we talked a little bit about last week, is that you get that sense of the actual something significantly happening in terms of changing the hearts and minds of people who have what I think we would usually agree as an outdated view or just simply a wrong view of women and not valuing them as people when it comes to their portrayal in the world of science fiction. And Star Wars certainly fits into that message and brings that conversation forward.
Yeah, the thing that makes me mad is when people talk about gender and, you know, the female roles in Star Wars, and someone will inevitably say, well, you've got Princess Leia. Like, that's supposed to be enough. One character in an entire movie trilogy.
Hello. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we're going back, and storms are messing with our internet, but we continue, we power on. Nancy, you were just talking about how some people seem to think that one lead female role, the token female, so to speak, is enough.
Yeah, and I, you know, that is really bothersome as a female who likes Star Wars and science fiction. You know, one female character shouldn't be enough when we live in a world in which half the people on the planet are female, and that's not just the case for women. It's the case for all, you know, ethnicities. And, you know, there's people who go, oh, well, we've got Lando and we've got Mace Windu. Like, well, so does that mean you can't have more people of color
exactly.
Your movie?
And you know, it's for me, if only someone could have a place to discuss these issues in a forum right there with other fans, like it's, I don't know, maybe some kind of convention event,
like a convention,
yes,
maybe,
man, if
in Atlanta,
if only
next, yeah, this month,
preferably, like if Labor Day weekend, that would be the perfect time. Okay. No, I won't get done beating around the bush. I want to just go ahead and, since we've drifted to the subject, you guys are talking about this at Dragon Con. Do you guys have like the place or time? I want to send folks to that panel if they're interested.
I think it's Sunday at 11:30, well, because I remember saying that I was glad it wasn't 10 o'clock in the morning, so I can sleep a little longer.
I am pulling up the blog now and seeing if, like, yeah, there's the post. It will be Sunday at 11:30 a.m., correct?
Excellent. That'll definitely be one we will do our best to make, as much as sometimes the different conflicting things happen, but I want to be there for sure. And so I'm looking forward to that one. And we've talked about it on the show. There are one or two panels we'll be on, and you can hit up the show notes to see which ones we'll be on as well. But I am super excited about Dragon Con. Like, I It's hard to describe Dragon Con to someone who's only been to other science fiction conventions or Star Wars celebrations, because there are distinct elements about this convention that I really don't like. But there's a distinct culture in this convention that I think is far better and more cool than others. And it's really difficult to communicate sometimes.
Well, whereas San Diego Comic-Con has become Press Junket Con, Dragon Con is still very much a fan-run, fan-driven convention.
Which is the best and worst part about it.
It really is.
But at Dragon Con, you know, you can sit in a room with Aaron Alston and have him talk about his book and then just ask him questions for an hour.
Which we did last year. It was awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, they have the same thing with the other authors and, you know, the Star Wars guests. And, you know, sometimes that can be really terrible. And then other times it can be really great. And
like if you're Carrie Fisher. Then it's amazing.
But you know, you don't have that opportunity at like Celebration or big cons, and plus Dragon Con is all about hanging out with people.
Yeah.
To me, you know, the panel great and stuff, but for me it's like standing there and watching people walk around in costume, or, you know, being part of a costume group, or, you know, just whatever. We do writing classes with Michael Stackpole and Aaron Alston and just hang out, and we're both really, really excited for Dragon Con this year to get into personal issues. But last year, Bride and I had just started a relationship right before Dragon Con, so we were really having a fun time at Dragon Con, but the specter of having to say goodbye to each other was looming over our heads the entire time. And it was pretty terrible. So this year we can go to Dragon Con together and not have to dread the end of Dragon Con.
In fact, we can flip off Atlanta or Hartsfield-Jackson Airport on the way by.
Yes. You're driving?
Yeah.
Do you not hate that airport?
I loathe that airport.
Yes.
We went to that airport a whole lot as kids when we lived overseas, man. And it was even back in recent years. Yeah, even then, it's not the most fun to go through for sure. Well, and really, there's very few airports that are.
No. Yeah. True.
The only thing you can say about Hartsfield-Jackson is that it's not Chicago O'Hare.
That's true. This is true. I've not been to O'Hare, but I've heard rumors. Most of which come from people who are tweeting the fact that they're delayed. but you breezed by it. You guys are a Star Wars couple. No, let's not make bones about it. Like, you guys met and are now together forever in love because of Star Wars.
Indeed.
It is indeed because of Star Wars.
Like, this is I'm choking up. This is adorable. This is absolutely adorable.
See, you were saying, Nancy, that you know, it was really sad at Dragon Con with the looming prospect of leaving each other right at the beginning for a relationship at the end of track. Meanwhile, I was thinking, that's so adorable.
Well, it's adorable now in retrospect that we don't ever have to do that ever again.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking about pitching this as a B-grade rom-com to Fox Studios.
Like, you have no idea. Who would you cast as yourself? Here's a pop question.
God. I don't know. Like,
I'm going to go with Aziz Ansari.
I could see that. Like, and I liked going the nerdy route, because you could either go the super, super Hollywood attractive type and make him pretend to be a nerd, like the Channing Tatums of the world, or you could go like Aziz Ansari, or like, I don't know, Seth Rogen. That would be kind of funny. I could see that. I could see. I hope I have not taken this into a territory I'm going to regret. No. Oh my goodness. So I think this has been an amazing hour of podcasting that we've had, and I do want to close off with you guys and really ask you, what's the future of Tashi Station? I'd love to hear that, starting with your guys' plans for Dragon Con and then moving from there.
Well, I think we're going to do our usual thing. We'll take some notes at various panels, put them up on the blog for people to read. we're going to try and record the panels that we're going to be on. Intro to the Expanded Universe on Friday, blogs, podcasting, bidding, and fanfic with you two and yes. Brian Young on Saturday, and Where Are the Women and Minorities in Star Wars on Sunday, which we've got Teresa Delgado and Amy Ratcliffe tentatively signed up to join us on that.
Ooh, nice. Wait, she's going to be at DragonCon? Cool.
Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Teresa's riding up with us.
Yep.
You're
supposedly.
You're kidding. This is... Oh. We're like, you guys need to pick us up in Fayetteville.
We need a podcast in the car.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I'll find some live mics for that.
Tosche Station on the road.
We'll be in the car for 7 hours. What else do we have to do?
That is a long drive.
Beats me. We're also going to try and record a podcast while we're there.
Yeah.
I'll have the studio mics. I'll have the mixer with me and some guest mics.
It may be an adults only podcast.
Oh, we're out there.
We'll see.
That would be pretty. That's going to be awesome. And yeah, we'll be there as well. Dragon Con's coming right up. Man, it's less than 3 weeks away as I look at my calendar, or right at 3 weeks. It's
at some point, I should probably come up with notes for the panels I'm going to be on.
That would be good.
Yeah, you should do it.
The podcasting,
I'm not going to.
Like, if you guys are listening to this and thinking about doing your own show or getting into the world of fandom, first of all, it's never too crowded. Definitely jump in. This is way too much fun. And if you're interested, a great place to find out more about that would be the blogging and podcasting panel that we'll be on. Check it out. It'll be Saturday. Look at the Dragon Con schedule. Always prone to change, the Dragon Con schedule, but they've got the app up. Stay tuned to our site. I confess, guys, I don't know if you saw it, but I put it up on the blog like yesterday or the day before. I went and shot on location at the Marriott.
Nice.
Coming, because I was coming through Atlanta anyway, so I was like, all right, I'll shot it. So I was kind of giving a preview to folks for the good old Marriott Atrium 706, where the magic happens.
I'd recognize that carpet anywhere.
yes indeed. Yeah. Oh, so it's gonna be fun. It's for right now, like, Bethany and I are in planning mode. Our classes start Wednesday and Thursday for us, and what are we thinking about? Nothing but how to get all of our homework assignments done before the weekend so that able to have not have to cram or anything before they resume again the next week. So
it sounds like you've got your priorities in check.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I am so glad my university started after that holiday.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm not in school anymore.
I hate you both. All right, that brings this episode of the Star Wars Report to a close. Just remember, and before we go into it, guys, where can folks find you? Twitter, Facebook, plug away.
Well, you can find our blog at Tosche-Station.net. On iTunes, we are Tosche Station Radio. That's the podcast. My Twitter handle is Lane Winree, LaneWinree. And
I am Nancy Pants with Nancy with an I.
And
I also have a blog where I talk about writing that's in nancypants.com.
And our blog and podcast can be found on Twitter with Tosche_station because there's a squatter who won't release the Tosche Station Twitter.
I was wondering about that. That jerk.
Wow.
Jerk. Everybody go hound that account on Twitter. No, don't do that. I'd probably tick him off more. All right, that's awesome. That brings this episode of the Star Wars Report to a close. Episode 99 is in the can. It would have been our Revenge of the Sith commentary, but I'm still editing it, as previously discussed. So episode 99 is, I'm so glad you guys were able to come on this almost monumental episode. It was monumental.
Thank you for having us.
It was monumental in its own way. Again, Dragon Con's coming right up. Remember, head to StarWarsReport.com. That's where you'll find all the information on what panels we'll be on and much, much more. We had some feedback. We'll push that to next week probably. And I just want to say, if you guys want to get into contact with us, interact with the show, all of this information can be found in the show notes at StarWarsReport.com. But remember, our contact information, you can email us at StarWarsReport@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter @StarWarsReport. Facebook/StarWarsReport, iTunes, bit.ly/StarWarsReport, iTunes. And my favorite way for the listeners to get into contact with us is our voicemail hotline. It's 858-859-0SWR. You can support the show by trying out an Audible podcast trial over at audibletrial.com/StarWarsReport and get yourself a free audiobook. I usually mention that during the show, but by all means, give it a try. It's great stuff. Thus brings this episode to a close. Thanks to Mark Herleman for coming on earlier in the show, and thank you again, Brian and Nancy. You guys have been a hilariously entertaining duo, and we will be sure to definitely have you guys back on the show, probably on one of our Dragon Con podcast episodes, if I can go ahead and extend that invitation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Awesome, awesome. It will be done. The day is Labor Day weekend, closing down. The place to be if you are a Star Wars fan. If you're heading to Dragon Con, be sure to catch up with us. We love to meet listeners, and it's always a good time. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. That's the tractor beam sound.
I'm so glad people can't hear us or can't see us right now.